come, Samson has come here. They surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night. At the gate of the city, they were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. So it says he went and slept with a prostitute. He went against God. It says, and Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gate posts. It says he pulled them up, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Afterwards it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. How many of y'all have heard the story of Samson and Delilah? Very popular story even among the kids. It says, and the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may empower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you, so there is five lords of the Philistines, it says every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So it didn't just say one of us will, or you get 1,100, it says all five of us will give you that. Now, I was looking up to try to figure out how much that calculates today. I found a few things back a couple years ago. It said it was worth about $89,000. That it says, here, entice him, find out where this strength comes from. And let me tell you, if you haven't been here, I was talking about Samson and how they're all like, where does this strength come from? So if some big, huge guy comes in the room, strong as all can be, do you wonder where his strength comes from? Or do you think it comes from his muscles? So obviously, this man wasn't this great, big, huge guy, or nobody would have wondered where the strength comes from. We see in the cartoon books and the kids' books this massive man that rips down pillars, that kills all these men. But no, I believe he was a smaller man, and they looked at it and said, where in the world is he getting this strength? Has he got like some special drug or what? What's going on here? But they went out and they gave her all this money saying, here, we'll give you all this if you can just let us know where his strength comes. Find out for us. It says, so Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies, and with that you may bound to afflict you. And Samson said to her, if they bind me. Woman, sometimes we know when you're deceiving us. Sometimes. Didn't say always. So there's this girl that he likes, and he's like head over heels for her. But he knows, okay, this is a trick. I'm smarter than this. This is a trick. It says, and Samson said to her, if you bind me with seven fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I will become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. It says, now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. So she's got him tied down, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn broke when it touches fire. So he ripped right through them. It says, so the secret of his strength was not known. Okay, so after this point, if you were Samson, wouldn't you go, okay, I can't trust this lady? But no, the devil knows your weakness. The devil knows where to go ahead and keep hitting you at. He knows what makes you weak. It says, so Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me. He's like, honey, you've mocked me. You've told me lies. You've told me all these lies. Now where was I? What verse am I on? 11. All right. 10. It says, now please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, well, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak. He said, and be like any other man. says, therefore, Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. It says, Delilah said to Samson, until now, you have mocked me and told me lies. So it happens again. By this time, if you didn't learn the first time, wouldn't you have thought, okay, now I surely know that this woman doesn't love me, that this woman is against me, that this woman is trying to deceive me. It says, tell me what you've been bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into a web of the loom. He says, so she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? First of all, I'm wondering how he said that in the first place. Somebody coming against him, knowing what she's trying to do, says, you've mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies. Says, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. So she went on nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. My wife would never nag me, just so you know. Love you, honey. But, so over and over again, that finally he was just worn down and was like, fine, I'll tell you. Before I go any further, how many times in your life has sin come upon you, come against you, come against your weaknesses, and you won the battle the first couple times? You thought you did good the first couple times. Then by the 4th time or so, you give in. After it keeps hitting you and beating you down, you give in. But I tell you what, during those times when you feel like you're getting beat up, when you feel like you can't handle anymore, it's the time when you go and you open this book. It's the time when you go to God and you say, God, you know my weakness, Lord. Give me strength. Give me strength in my weakness. For where I am weak, I am strong. So when you go to God for the things that you say, I can't overcome. You say, I can't get away from my drugs. I can't get away from my tobacco. I can't get away from my addictions. I can't get away from my alcohol. I can't get away from my lust. I can't get away from sex. I can't get away from all these things of the world. Maybe you can't, but it says Christ who lives in you can. That you no longer live, but Christ does. So here's the thing, that Christ comes to help you in your weakness. Christ comes to give you strength when you have no strength. That you don't have to give in to your temptations. You don't have to give in to the lust of the world because you can say, God, I can't handle it anymore. I need you. I need you, Father. I can't come up here and preach. I can barely read. I can't talk to you guys like I'm talking right now. But I say, God, I need you. For God, I can't do this alone, but I need you to come and help me with this, Lord. Lord, I need you to deliver the word today, not me. Because God, nothing I could say or do could change the lives of your people, Lord. But only through you, Christ, can hearts be changed. Can your people's lives be changed. That I could sit down and talk to you all day long. I could sit here and have conversations with you and tell you what you need to do. But it means nothing until you grab a hold of it yourself. It means nothing until you say, Father, I need you. I'm done with the lust of the world. I'm done trying to do it on my own, Father, that now I need you. That I need you, Father. Let's go on. Whew. It says that he told her. So after she nagged him to death, it says he told her all his heart. It says, and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And I tell you, you're probably sitting there today going, wow, this guy was dumb. Wow. How dumb was this guy? He knew the consequences, what were going to happen when he revealed the secret. He knew what was to come. But a lot of times, if you'd step back from your life, if you go watch a replay of your life, and you'd say, oh, I was attacked with that. Oh, I was attacked again. Oh, I was attacked a third and fourth time. Oh my gosh, I gave into that. How dumb was I? But you know what? Maybe it wasn't about the head on your hair. Maybe it wasn't about the lust after a woman or a man. But maybe it's a different area in your life that you're having problems with. Maybe there's something else in your life that you have a weakness and all of a sudden you give into it. Because a lot of times we think we can do it on our own. We think that we can overcome the problem by ourselves. But the thing is, we can't, because we were born into a sinful world. But we have to die to our flesh in order to be alive in Christ. That we must put our old self aside and say, I will no longer follow after the enemy, but I will follow after Christ. And when you begin, the thing that a lot of Christians don't get, it says to meditate on the word day and night. It doesn't say when you have time. It doesn't say when you feel like it. It doesn't say when you're down and everything's coming against you. It doesn't say in just certain times when you need to. It says day and night, meditate on the word. It says it is your daily bread. That man does not live on bread alone, but he lives on Christ's words, on God's word. He lives on this right here. This is what we feed on. If I fed you every Sunday, you had an hour to eat, are you going to make it till next Sunday? Eventually, you're going to become weak. Eventually, you'll have no strength. Eventually, the people around you will see that you haven't been eating. And it's the same way with Christ, that when you begin to set this aside, you begin not to press into God, the people around you can see when you're weak. The people around you can see that you're growing away from what you were called to. The people around you can say, you haven't been eating lately, have you? You know, maybe at first they say, oh, you're on a diet? You know, I've had the times that I stopped working out and got busy and stopped eating, and I started getting the thing, are you okay? Are you sick? And then they'd say worse things. But the thing is, maybe you can't notice at first that you haven't been meditating on the word day and night or having your daily bread, but I tell you what, those around you can see it. Your marriage can see it. Your relationships can see it. And I know Christ can see it. That I know that he says that he gives us these instructions for a purpose. He didn't just waste his breath and say, hey guys, meditate on this day and night. Use this as your daily bread. No, he said it for a purpose because he knows how we were designed. He knows that our design was out of his image, and out of his image we need him. And we must continue to accept him into our lives. Must continue to crucify your flesh daily. That you wake up in the mornings and you say, you know what, Christ? I'm going to live for you today. That Christ, I'm going to crucify myself. I'm putting my flesh behind me. Wake up in the morning and say, God, have your way and will in my life today. God, what would you have me do today, Lord? Lord, because I need you, that my desires of this world mean nothing to me. And when your heart begins to get right where it needs to be, you wake up and you cry out to God and say, God, what do you want me to do today? God, what do you have planned for me today? That you look forward to being a servant unto the Lord. That you look forward to finding out what God has for you. That you look forward to say, okay, God, what's the plan today? He's our ultimate master. When you have a master, when you have a boss in your job, you go and you say, what would you like me to do today? What is it that I need to do today? That we need to go to him and say, you are my father. You are my master. What is it you have me do today? Live your work and your will out in my life today. But Samson, he's like a lot of us have been, or a lot of us go through things, that he begins to look at what'll help him. What'll help his flesh? What'll make him happier? Let's continue. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. His strength left him. We'll get back to that in a minute. It says, then she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. For he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before. So here he goes. He knows he's already sinned against God by telling her this, but he doesn't realize that his strength has left him. It says, at other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. A lot of times, guys, we don't realize when we've walked so far away from God. Because those first few steps, they may not be bad. We take some more steps away from God, living our lives for ourselves, and it still may not be too bad. Till one day we wake up and all of hell is broke loose in our lives and we go, what happened? We go, I used to be so close to God. What happened? And a lot of times we go, God, where are you? A lot of times we don't realize he's right where we left him. America tries to say, where was God during this? Where was God during that? Why didn't God this or God that? First of all, where have you placed God? Why are there shootings in our schools? Oh, wait, that's right. We took God out of our schools. We said, God, you can't have any part of our government. We wonder why America's going downhill so quick. We wonder why we're so broke. We wonder why we don't have the strength of God. You know what? I'm afraid for war in America because we don't have God's hand on us anymore. Because we've taken God out of the schools. We've taken him out of our government. We've taken him out of everything we believe in. We were founded on this, and we've walked away from it. We've walked so far away that I don't want to go to war with anybody. Think about it. The power of the enemy is stronger than our own power. Because as it says, we can't crucify our flesh. We can't crucify the things of the enemy unless we have Christ. And if you think we're going to go up against the wars of the world, we think we're going to go up against the temptations and the sins that come against us, we think we're going to go up against the devil in war, but we don't have our Father with us, how do you think that's going to end? We can do nothing without Christ. That we need him in our lives. It says, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Wouldn't that be terrible that the way you find out that you walked away from Christ is when somebody goes and gouges out your eyes? That wouldn't be a good way to find out. Lost my spot again. All right, it says they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Let's talk about this for a moment. Praise the Lord. Give me a second. How you guys feeling out there? Whew, praise the Lord. You know what? His weakness was woman. Throughout the other sections, his weakness was woman. That he killed so many people over his last wife. He did so many things over what happened with her. And he continued to fall for the lusts of his flesh. But his strength at the time was his faith in God. It was the spirit that was coming upon him. It was the fear of God in his life. Here's the thing. He had the fear of God in his life not to cut his hair. He had the fear of God knowing that if he cut his hair, his power would be taken away from him. That there was fear of God in his life saying, okay, I fear the Lord that if I cut my hair, he will take my power away. And then after a certain point of time when he walked so far away from God, when he started doing so many different things in the world, that the pride came in his heart, and he started thinking, well, you know what? I think he was sitting there going, if I tell her, will my strength really go away? What, really? It's just hair. Like, seriously, I've already sinned against God and all the other areas that he told me to stay away from. My strength didn't go away. That pride begins to come, and in any man with that kind of strength, if you're not where you need to be with God, you're going to be like, look at me. Look how strong I am. Look at what I can do. Look at all these things. Just as he did, that he began to look at himself for his strength instead of the Father for his strength. And the same thing that happens in our lives. In verse 16 and 17, let's go back there. It says, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him, so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor shall ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. And if I've shaven, then the strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So this was when, like I said, he lost the fear of God in his heart. He lost the fear of God to the weaknesses of his flesh. That so many times, the fear of God is what's keep me going on the right path. Yes, I may mess up. I make mistakes. I do things. But the fear of God is what keeps you from going so far off, because you know that God is the reason you are where you are. That God is the reason that you've gotten out of the places that you were in before. That he's taken you out of that. You must always keep the fear of God in you. It wasn't just about the woman, but it was about the spirit that comes to identify your weakness. That it comes to find out, the enemy will come to say, okay, here's his weakness. Had nothing to do with a woman. Had everything to do with where his weakness was. Where the enemy can come and say, okay, that's where I can get him to turn. That's where I can get him away from doing what he's been called to do. That's the spot in their life that I need to grab a hold of. Don't let your weaknesses become stronger than your strengths. Don't let your weaknesses become stronger than your strengths. Because what he did is he let go of his strengths to go after his weaknesses. To go after the different things that his flesh was going after. In chapter 16, 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out before as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He sinned and didn't realize his strength was gone. This is what happens in our lives. All of a sudden, the blessings are gone. All of a sudden, the things that God has given us are gone. To overcome something in the old, they could when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. But I'm going to tell you something. In the New Testament, they could anytime because Christ lived in them. That Christ lives in us, and at any time, we can overcome the weaknesses of our flesh. We can overcome anything by letting Christ live in our hearts. We don't have to sit there and wonder if it's going to happen. The power of God has been instilled in us. That is accepting Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord, as your Savior. You're accepting all of him. You're accepting his power. You're accepting eternal life. And you're accepting walking away from your flesh. You're accepting walking away from the things of the world. Here's the deal, guys. I believe it had nothing to do with the hair on his head. A lot of people have always heard, well, how was it the hair that made him strong? It was his hair, but how did the hair do it? I don't believe it had anything to do with the hair. What had happened was he had broken every commandment, and that was the last one of the commandments that kept him a Nazarite. That a Nazarite, when he had completely turned away from God, when he had completely gone against everything he was supposed to stay away from. In Numbers 6, 1 through 8, you don't have to turn there, you can write it down. It said he would be a Nazarite, one that would be abstinence to alcohol, anything of grapes, would not cut his hair, and staying away from the dead. As we've learned in the previous ones, that basically he had a big feast. And a feast back in those days, a week-long feast, was about celebrating with alcohol. Basically, it was a drunken party for a week that they wouldn't drink. So he went against that commandment. It says, stay away from the dead. He killed a lion. He went back and actually went into the lion and grabbed the honey out of the lion, the dead lion. That, there we go. He went against the second commandment. And the other one was not to cut his hair. So he went against all these other commandments in his life. He went against all these things he wasn't supposed to, till finally he got to the point that he broke it all. That finally he got to the point that he had gotten so far away from his calling, so far away from where God had called him to be, that the power left him. I remember the same thing in my life. I talked to you guys about this a lot, that God helped me to be a good salesman. God helped me at one time to build a business. The things were going great, but then I started saying, man, have you seen what I've done? Have you seen how good of a job I've done? Have you seen this? What me? And it was all about me and nothing about God. And then over time, by the time I had gotten so far away from his calling for my life, so far away from being a Christian, was when all of a sudden, I believe God was like, well, enough's enough. Let's see if he can do this on his own. And things began to crumble. Things began to fall. I began to lose everything. Then finally you get to the point when you've lost it all and you have two choices, that you say, God, I need you. God, help me. Or serious, that's where I was, to the point that I was ready to kill myself, or God, I had to do something, that I couldn't continue where I was. I couldn't continue to do the things that I kept doing because it was finally gone. That I had realized at that moment that everything I believed in, I had walked away from. That everything that I knew, what gave me power, what gave me strength to do things, is what I left behind. Because I left it behind for the lust of money, the lust of the world, the things that I thought the world would bring me happiness. And I realized that those things were all a false and fake happiness, that they could never fulfill the desires of my heart. Then one day God said, you know what? He said, if you turn it all over to me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And I was like, sweet, I'm going to be rich. And then when I turned it all over to him, I realized that the desires of my heart had changed. That it had nothing to do with the lusts of the world, had nothing to do with the worldly things, because those things can't make us happy. Those things were a lie from the enemy. Those things were a complete lie, that I realized my heart was in a different place than it once was. And as we continue next week, Samson's heart eventually begins to change, and he begins to realize where he needs to be and where he's at. But in closing, guys, a few more things. You know, in the beginning, God knew what would happen. This is why in chapter 13:5, he points out the razor specifically. Because he knew the path that he was going to take. He knew the things that he was going to happen. And he pointed out, do not let him shave his head. Do not let him cut the hair off of his head. He was like Adam. When he disobeyed and went against the exact thing God commanded him not to do, he experienced the separation from God and God's power. That he went away from everything he believed in. Verse 21 says, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in his prison, in the prison. His disobedience caused pain, just as it did for Adam and Eve. His disobedience brought pain upon his life. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That a lot of times, especially as Christians, we sit there and think, well, this little sin won't hurt. Well, I can do this. Everybody else at church is doing it. Well. I heard a pastor once say it was okay. Sometimes we justify things because of the corrupt pastor you were listening to. Please don't call me corrupt. If you feel I am, pray for me. Or I'll pray for you, one of the two. But sometimes we'll compromise things. Well, I love this one. It's acceptable in these days. It wasn't acceptable back then, but times have changed. It's now acceptable now. You know what? My God doesn't change. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That if you think that something that wasn't acceptable yesterday is acceptable today, maybe you should go back and reevaluate your life. Maybe you should begin to go back into the Word and watch what God reveals in your heart. Watch what God begins to reveal to you. He died to his strength due to his sin. Sin will take you somewhere you don't want to go. Sin will take you somewhere you don't want to go. My sin caused me to go somewhere I didn't want to go. It caused me to lose everything I had because of my sin. Not because of God, but because of the lack thereof of what I was doing for God. Because of the disobedience that I had in my life. Sin will change your life, and it'll cost you your life. That sin can cost you your life. He had his eyes gashed out and ended up dying to his strength. He ended up dying in the end because of his sin, because of what he did. We'll get into that next week. The fullness of life belongs to those who live for God. Maybe you feel today that you don't understand what I'm saying, that this excitement that I get in my life, this excitement that I get about Jesus Christ, our Savior, maybe you're saying, why does he get so excited about this? Why does he seem so joyful about this Bible and this God? Because the fullness of life comes when you follow him. The fullness and the greatest joy in life comes when you live out his will in your life. If you haven't experienced it yet, I tell you to begin to crucify your flesh. Take a step back and say, okay, God, I want to live for you. What can I do? At first, yes, it is painful. It's not easy to crucify your flesh. But you begin, once you see the fullnesses of joy and greatness that you get from following after him, you realize that the joy you get from that is so much greater than the pain that you had crucifying your flesh. So much greater than anything that you had to crucify in this world, because true love, true joy comes from God. So many people on earth try to find love in a spouse, try to find love in other people. And then they figure out, oh, wait, I can't find love in anybody. Maybe I'm gay. Let me try to find love in something else. You know what? I'm sorry, but that's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the enemy. True love, if you can't find it, is because you've been looking in the wrong place. It's not because God created you different. It's not because you're any different than anybody else. God created you in his image. And you must go back to following after him. You must go back to saying, the image of Christ, the image of God, is who I've been designed to live like. When you begin to walk that out in your life begins to change. Love begins to flow out of you. You begin to get excited about God. You begin to say, you know what? This word, there's something in it. This word is powerful. When you go to work, you don't sit there and try to cover up your Christianity. When you don't go to work, you don't try to be somebody different than you are at church. You go to work and people say, well, what did you do this week? And you said, I went to church. Say, I went to church and had a good time. You say, I went to church and the singing was great. The worship was great. I praised God with all my strength. I stood and I shouted and I screamed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you begin to say, my God is powerful. And people will look at you and say, you're crazy. Believe me, people looked at Jesus and said, you're crazy. You say you've got the strength inside of you to raise yourself from the dead? Call angels down to deliver you off of this cross. He said, no, that's not what I was called to do. He said, no, I can, but God didn't call me for that. God called me for something else. God had a bigger plan for me than you know, because God is my strength. I get my strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Woo, woo. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.